I was actually doing hypnosis for attracting my dream husband.
I always say follow the signs. And funny enough, I was fed up with the fact that I'm 39 and I still hadn't met her.
My relationship ended. I was engaged. I called off the wedding. We broke up and I was like... It's like your energy is contagious. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love this guy's energy.
And I was like, oh, this chick's Polish. Okay. That was definitely one of my dreams as well.
We want to share some downs too. On social media, naturally, we always show the highlights. You have to have these uncomfortable conversations. I like what you said to me.
Since 2018, I've helped thousands of people heal childhood trauma, overcome addiction, get off their anxiety and depression medication, and finally take control of their lives. Many have gone on to start their own business and become speakers, coaches, and leaders who are now transforming lives every single day. I've built a global community with over 3.5 million people, spoken on stages all over the world. And now I want to help you to do the same. If you've ever dreamed of becoming a certified life coach, making a difference and building a life of purpose and freedom, this is your moment. The LMP Coaching Institute is where healing meets transformation and passion turns into profession. Click the link below to apply now and be the change that you wish to see in the world.
What's up, guys? How you doing? Welcome to another podcast on the Luke Mind Power Podcast. And I know you're like looking at this already. And I don't even know, maybe the angle that you're watching this, you can't see who's sitting next to me because my editing team might be actually, putting a spotlight on me yet. But I am here with my beautiful wife, Yulita, and we have finally got together after such a long time. We have such an amazing podcast that we're going to share with you about our life, about a lot of different parts of our relationship, and whatever's meant to be spoken about is going to be absolutely amazing over the next 45 to 50 minutes or so. So I would like to, of course, welcome my wife, Yulita, to the Luke Mind Power Podcast for the first time.
Thank you, baby. I'm so excited to be here with you and finally do this. And I know we've been wanting to do it for so long, but I feel like this is perfect timing. Everything happens for a reason. And yeah, we want to share the ugly truth, the up and downs, because I feel like on social media, naturally, we always show the highlights. And we want to share some downs too, just because we feel like it can help someone and inspire them. And I think it's going to be beautiful, raw and beautiful.
Absolutely. So, I think that there's going to be, as much as, you know, my energy is like hyped and I'm always like yelling at people and it's motivational, and you guys can expect that from most of my solo episodes. This is definitely going to be one of those moments, I think, where, you know, you guys get to experience a little bit more of an inside scoop, I guess, into my personal life. A different side of me. Because
the side that I'm actually more familiar with.
Well, this is true.
It's actually really funny because when I hear you recording your podcast and I hear you screaming, even like my mom that is like living with us now and staying with us, she's like, oh my gosh, like he's a completely different person because you're yelling so much during your podcast, but in everyday life, you're so gentle and, you know, just such a gentle and kind person. So when you are excited and you hyped on your podcast, I feel like people may think that you always screaming and you always like that, but you know, it's
true. And that definitely has been the case with a lot of people. I think with my events and when people meet me in person, they think they know me from the whole, like, you know, go and do this and screaming and like, don't f***ing this, whatever, on my podcast when I'm yelling, and then they see me dancing and I'm doing all the dancing, and then you think that, like, oh my God, Luke is like this confident, like, dancer and motivational speaker, podcast
and loud
and all that shit. But then when you meet me in real life, I'm actually the most quietest, like, gentle. I'm the most quietest, gentle, and I am. I'm a sensitive soul. And that's why actually protecting my energy has been one of the best things I ever did, was to like really be aware of how much time I give to people and who I'm surrounding myself with, because, you know, because I have to protect who I am, what I have, and make sure that I'm in an environment that actually complements me and is healthy for me.
Yeah, but you can still be the life of the party.
Yeah, I know. But I definitely, yeah, I've had to learn that, you know, that not everybody, you know, that not everybody is good for you.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like the more we heal, the more introvert we become, naturally.
Yeah.
Like, I used to be an extrovert. I used to always be out, always doing something, always wanting to do things and be around people. But the more I start healing, the more I start enjoying alone time, staying home, being quiet, observing more than talking, you know, it's interesting.
But yeah, well,
it's a nice mix.
You know, the other thing is, I feel like when you grow or when you become more emotionally aware, your level of misunderstanding, you're misunderstood. You feel like you're not, it almost feels uncomfortable to talk about specific conversations, for me anyway, you know, with some family members where you've actually don't even want to talk about, like,
it's not everybody's,
and that's what I'm saying,
ready for that emotional.
Exactly. You don't, that you know that they're not going to get you, so you don't even bother.
Yeah.
But then what does that do? It creates distance.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but anyway,
we all experience that.
Like, yeah. let's like, we just obviously having a little bit of a rant ourselves, you know, like this and that about, you know, the journey of personal growth and self-awareness and all this kind of stuff. But I think before we go into, like, how do we meet, you know, you've lived in New York for like
14 years.
So, you know, when did you move there?
When I was like 18 years old.
18 years old. And what was the inspiration to like move to New York specifically?
So everybody used to always tell me that, oh, you were so brave, like you moved on your own. But now I'm like, I can see it was trauma response, like just kind of escaping from myself, from the family problems. My parents got divorced when I was 13. I was raised by my father. My mom was an alcoholic. So I just kind of want to escape from all of that, especially because my dad was like this typical, like, European dad, like very strict. And so I just want to be as far as possible from my family so I can do whatever I want. And obviously I picked New York because New York was always, I always seen it in the movies. So I felt like that's kind of amazing to be there. And then I stayed to study there and I ended up staying 14 years. And then you kind of brought me back.
That's a whole new story, right? Okay, cool. So basically, yeah, and then obviously for me, 33, may have had this epiphany, aha, spiritual awakening moment. My grandmother passed. I went to the funeral, came back to Australia, and then was like, okay, I'm moving to Poland. You know, that was 2018. So since that time, that was a moment for me where I was like, no more girlfriends, no more relationships. I'm going to focus on myself, you know? Because I got fed up. I got fed up with like rejections. I got fed up with not attracting the type of person that I wanted to be with, or I got fed up of giving and not receiving. And I kind of felt and like almost knew that, you know, if I want to attract better, or if I want to attract that right person, I have to do something different and like become someone else.
Yeah.
You know, not that I changed so much from who I was, but I knew I had to build something on my own, you know? So I always held that belief. And funny enough, the Luke Mind Power podcast, this is the podcast you're listening to right now. And please make sure you subscribe and share this podcast with more people so they get inspired about attracting the love of their life, because it is possible. This is what's happening right now. We're going to talk about it. You know, if you don't give up on love, then love won't give up on you and it'll happen. But you have to change something in your life that you're doing, because if you don't change, you're not going to attract that what you want. So for me, this whole process was a journey, but the podcast played a big part of it, because when I was speaking on the podcast, a big part of it was the, I'm not going to give up on her, right? I'm not going to give up on her. And a lot of my motivation and urgency or persistence and the way that I was like pushing my energy into the podcast was like, I'm not giving up on love. You know, there was a belief of like, eventually, if I keep going, I'm going to run into her. Yeah. You know, I held on to that belief, but I also had a lot of doubt.
And you have to believe. Yeah. And it's normal, because I think when I say that I believe that there's my person's out there and I'm not going to settle down until I find the person that feels like the right partner you want to build your life with. People think that I didn't have doubts and I didn't have fear. It's not true. Like, I was actually just focusing on like living my best life, doing everything that makes me happy and brings me peace. And I was just keep believing that this person's going to show up and becoming also the best version of myself. Because I knew that, like, if I want a partner with, you know, like, that's here, like, I can't be here, you know? So I, like, you know, when the relationship falls apart, you both here, and then you growing, and then the person is here, and kind of, you know, you're breaking up. But, like, okay, my relationship ended. I was engaged. I called off the wedding. We broke up, and I was, like, my ex-partner was here. I was here, and I was, like, okay, he's either going to change and meet me here, which pretty much never happens, and or I'm gonna meet someone new here. And that's what happened. I met you and we were just such a good match, even though at first we didn't even see it.
Okay,
right away.
So before, and you know, thanks for holding on and being here with us up until now. Like I said, please share this podcast, share this episode. You're going to inspire so many people to not give up on love first and foremost. But I am sitting next to the best hypnotherapist in the world, right? And there is a story behind that as well. But she mentioned that she was getting married, you know. Yolita was getting married. She was engaged. And the synchronicities, you know, follow the signs. And funny enough, in terms of the story of how we met, and we'll go into that, but I pushed it away and I actually didn't want to believe it. You know, like I was just like, there's a sign, there's another sign, there's another sign, there's another sign. And I'm like, nah, nah, nah.
So let's start from the beginning.
Right. So I'm just saying, like, some of these signs were, for example, I was engaged in 2012 and that fell through, you know, like 1 week before the wedding, she canceled it, you know. And then when we met and she told me, we were talking and you said to me that you were engaged, and because I went through your Instagram and I saw that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, there's the
post. I still have it there.
You still had it on your Instagram. And and I was like, oh, there's a proposal.
Oh, wow.
You know? So I was like, what the hell's going on there? You know? So when I found out that you were engaged and you broke it off, and you told me that, I was like, oh, this is another sign.
Yeah.
You know? So.
People always ask how we met. So why don't you?
Yeah, let's get that cleared up right now. Okay, so, I mean, funny enough, there was a process to it behind.
It's a process.
I mean, no, but I'm saying, sure, I can go straight into, like, you know, Instagram, okay? But there was also, like, the backstory of, like, what got me to actually find you.
Yeah.
You know, and that was this moment when I was in Dubai, and I got to this point where I was just frustrated and I was just like, and this is what I'm saying. Like we always say, like that moment where you feel like giving up is the moment where you keep going.
And you're fed up. Yeah.
I was fed up with the fact that I'm 39 and I've grown all these followers on Instagram and done all this amazing stuff with my coaching business and everything like that. And I still hadn't met her and I was annoyed.
And I kind of felt the same way.
I was so pissed off, man. Yeah. Like I was just like, hell, like what does it take, you know? I'm like, shit, man, I'm putting myself out there, like I'm doing everything.
And I think that's when you also very often meet your person, and it doesn't mean that you have to have everything figured out, but you'll just have to be content with yourself and your life, because that's how I felt like everything else in my life is perfect, you know. I had a career, I had amazing lifestyle, amazing friends, I loved my life, I've traveled, like I was doing everything that was making me happy, and whatever happy means for you, just do more of that. And then I was like, the only missing piece is finding the partner that I can share that life with. You know? So yeah, so I definitely, that's when frustration kind of comes in.
That was where I actually remember the conversation with Danilo, and I was like, bro, I was like telling him about how I was feeling, and I was annoyed, and he's like, oh man, he goes, you know, your friend Martin, he's like, he met his wife on Instagram. Because I had this ego or this mind of like, I'm not going on dating sites. I'm not looking on there. I'm going to meet her at an event.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I'm going to meet her.
You want to be your person in real life.
Like, I was like, real life. Because I was just like, I want to be old school. I'm not going online. I'm not doing this online dating stuff. But that's how I got to this point where I was actually like, started searching. So even though I went on dating sites, I went on Bumble and these other ones, whatever, and it took me to Poland.
Yeah.
And it was a family member of mine that, you know, Austin got, he was unwell. And then I was like, well, you know what? I'm not going to stay as long as I was going to stay in Dubai. So actually there was a few things that happened that took me to Poland.
Yeah.
You know, because if those things weren't happening, I would have probably stayed in Dubai and, you know, things could have not aligned.
Yeah.
Right. So then I was like, okay, I think what I need is I need to be around my family. And so, you know, I was still on the dating sites. I got to Poland. I was still looking at them, you know, and then I just got fed up. And I was like, I am tired. Like this swipe, 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 swipe. And I'm just like, I don't have time for this shit, man. I'm too busy. Like I go, you know what? I'm not doing this stuff anymore. I'm focusing on my business. And I've just got to switch back onto Loop Mind Power and just focus again. And that is the time where one night I was basically scrolling Instagram and I saw a video from Thomas Krallo, who's a cryptocurrency influencer in Dubai. And basically he was doing a video about, you know, how he's been with his partner from when he had a Toyota to now when he's driving a Lamborghini or a Ferrari or whatever, you know. And he was just giving an example of like, you know, your relationship or something like that. And then I saw Yulita's comment on that.
Because in a post he was saying that if your woman wasn't driving the Toyota with you, she doesn't deserve you in a Ferrari.
Yeah.
And I kind of disagree with that. Yep. Because I said, well, what if she's, and so then he was pretty much saying that your woman should want you even when you have no money, which kind of contradicts some of the things he says or his wife says. But anyways, that was the point of the post. You know, it was catchy and a lot of people were commenting. And I honestly never comment on the things like that, but I was actually just healing through hypnosis, like some other stuff. And I was healing that, like, I'm okay to be seen and have my opinion. So I commented and I said something like, I love your love story and it's so beautiful. But I was like, that's not always true, because I'm like, if a woman is ambitious herself and she builds her own empire, she's not going to want a guy that is not ambitious. And I said, of course. So don't pick the partner based on what he drives. Because when I met Luke, he didn't even have a car. I'm not kidding. You always say that. I'm like, stop saying that. But that's because we move countries. But my point is, I said, if he drives Toyota because he just watches TV all day, like, that's a red flag. But if he drives Toyota because he's building himself up and investing money, great. You know, so I said, it really depends on the situation, but it's not fair to say to a woman that's also ambitious and building her own empire, like, you need to date the guy when he drives Toyota, or you don't deserve him in the Ferrari. Like, what if she already is like building her own empire? And again, what if the guy drives Toyota just because he's lazy and he's not matching, you know, her vibe? So I wouldn't personally pick the guy that's like not successful, because I was already very successful myself. And I've been in a relationship when I was a provider too. I've been in a relationship where the other person was a provider, and it's always mismatch. You kind of want to meet on the same level, and providing means different things. Like, don't get me wrong, like, you can provide in so many different ways, but I'm saying, like, you both have to have the same type of mindset.
Yeah. So what was so that was the comment that you left, right?
Yes. And so you liked it.
Well, it was quite a lengthy comment. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if it was a short one, I probably wouldn't have looked at it, you know, but it was a long one. And I was just,
and that
like,
was the first time I left a comment. Like,
yeah. And it said holistic hypnotherapist, holistic.hypnotherapist. And I was like, who's this person? And I just read it. And then I looked at,
and you didn't even know I'm Polish.
No. I just clicked on the profile, because I guess holistic maybe triggered me for, you know, personal development or healthy lifestyle or something like that. Yeah. Right. So I clicked on her profile and then I'm like, oh, Yulita. And I'm like, Polish. Cause I could see she had a flag or she had the PL or something like that. And I was like, oh, this chick's Polish. Okay. You know, and you know, that was definitely one of my dreams as well, was to attract and to marry a Polish woman. It was always in my nature, or maybe a deep dream, I guess, or just I knew that I over anyone, I wanted to be with someone who I could relate to, speak to in Polish, you know, that had the culture, because that's how I was raised in Australia, you know, around my parents, obviously, but my family and, you know, always family coming from Poland to Australia, visiting us. And, you know, we had this connection with Poland. I did anyway. And so then there was this, and then watching all my friends marry, majority of my friends in Sydney married a Polish woman as well. And so, you know, there was like, you know, I could see that that's also something that I really wanted, you know? So yeah, when I looked at your profile, I was like, oh, okay. And then, and then I was like, okay, let's have a look, you know? So I started looking at her Instagram and some of her posts, but, you know, to be honest, like I wasn't instantly like, oh my goodness, like I need to talk to her, you know? Like I actually like looked at her profile, looked at some of her posts, and I was like,
you liked my stories too.
And then, yeah, I looked at her stories and I think she was traveling somewhere at the time to Hamptons or wherever you're going for a holiday or something. She was in a helicopter or a plane, whatever it was. And then, yeah, I literally, because you know what, at that time as well, you know, sure, my perception straight away of judging anyone on Instagram, because that's what we do. We look at someone, we judge them just by whatever they, however they look, whatever it is. And so I was like, okay, nah, I'm just observing. And then I moved on and I didn't message her. I didn't even think about it. And I didn't even see it as like, you know, but what if you talk to her? What if she's a nice girl? What if you don't know her story? What if this, what if that? There was nothing like that. I was just like, nah, I've done with, because I just got over Tinder. I just got over all these swiping shit. And I was like, no, I don't want to start this again. I don't have time.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to someone if it's not going to be the one.
Yeah.
Right. So I think I liked some of her stories because of whatever, but I wasn't even thinking about it and I left.
Yeah. And then I saw it. And few days before that, I was actually doing hypnosis for attracting my dream husband. And I told myself that I want someone that speaks English and Polish. And one of the blockages that came out from me during hypnosis was that I don't believe that the person like that exists, right? Because I wanted someone similar to me. So someone that has Polish roots, is very connected to the Polish culture, but also travels the world, is okay with living between Dubai, New York, and Poland, speaks Polish and English, that is into the work that I do, that works on himself, that works from home. Just because I was, again, also fed up with like all these relationships that failed because we were on a different pages, totally different people with different lifestyles. So when I program myself for that in a hypnosis, obviously I pray every day for that person. When I saw, like, he liked my profile and I just, it caught my attention. And on a conscious level, I was kind of intrigued because it was Luke Chlebowicz. So I'm like, the name was foreign and the last name was so Polish. It doesn't get more Polish than this. So I click on his profile and I see this huge account and, you know, I see this guy jumping in flip-flops somewhere in the forest. And I also wasn't looking at Luke's profile or Luke like in a romantic way. I just was kind of looking at it like he is so funny, like his energy. I mean, you guys know, it's like your energy is contagious. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love this guy's energy. And it still didn't click to me that this is something I was like programming myself for. So right away, like without even thinking, and I think Slavic girls will understand because like as a Slavic girl, right, like you will never make the first move with a guy. Like that's just not in our culture. Like you don't even smile at the guy when you like the guy. You actually mean to him. So the only reason I DM'd you first, it was because I wasn't thinking about it in a romantic way. All I wanted was like connect on a business level and just collaborate. So I was like, oh, I'm like, I love your energy. What do you do? Where you live? Like, you know, just like super like, and I also sent that message. I totally forgot. Like you said, I was in the Hamptons then with my girls, like having the best time. And then you messaged me back, I think like day after or 2 days after. And then when we start talking, you start saying all the things that I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is kind of what I've been like manifesting and praying for. And I was very intrigued. But again, like, we weren't each other's type at first glance, at least. So I wasn't thinking in a romantic way still, but I was just very intrigued. And we just had such a flow in talking. Like, I just was like, oh, I love talking to this guy. So
yeah, I was always saying, she's like, I didn't mean anything by messaging you. Like, there was nothing there. Like, I
never make the
I wasn't like, oh my god. Like, I was like, yeah, whatever, man. You were like looking at me going, oh my god, I want him.
No way. No, yeah, I want this guy that's like jumping in his flip-flops in the middle of the forest.
Yeah, but tell him about, like, the pierogi. Like, that's
But I do have to say, like, when I was looking at his profile, the thing that really got me to DM you was the video of him making pierogies in like this village in Poland and listening to like disco polo, which is like really funny Polish music that I love and not many people love it. So I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is amazing, you know? But then after we start talking and I start like feeling like, oh my gosh, I kind of like this guy. And then I was like, I think he's kind of flirting with me. But that was like maybe a week or two into talking. I went back to that video and I'm like, I think I'm falling in love with this guy. Because of that video.
Yeah, I mean, see what I mean? Like, there's so many little things that have come to like connect us together, because even that video where, yeah, for 6 years, it took me 6 years to actually create the business that I have and the companies and organize myself to get into this position where I'm like, okay, now I can actually go to Poland and like, and be there, you know, and live there. Longer than just come and visit my cousins and family and stuff like that. So I'm in the kitchen and I made some Polish dumplings and I made a post on Instagram saying, you know, if you never give up on your dreams, you'll get to make Polish pierogi, Polish dumplings in Poland. And she saw it and she's like, oh my gosh, like, and I'm playing that music. And that's also what connected her to go, I'm going to message him.
Yeah.
You know?
So it just shows you, like, be your authentic self, because that's when you attract the right people, you know? Because you're just being yourself. And someone would look at it and be like, oh, I don't like that. I don't like this music, whatever.
Yeah, like, and that's what I mean. Because I think even in the past relationships, like, you would sacrifice specific things because you would hope and pray that this is the person for you.
Yeah.
And so then it would be probably, like, not having boundaries and be like, you know, oh, they don't like to do this, but I do, but doesn't matter. At least I'm with someone.
And Lucas kind of person that he just doesn't care what people think. And I think that is what also I was attracted to, because I was like, I just want to learn from that person, like how to be like that, because like, and I'm still learning every day. Like, you inspired me with you not caring about what other people think.
Yeah, I'm still, you know, I'm learning more and more and more to be more carefree, I guess. But, you know, I know that there's more podcast episodes on the way. I know there's more speaking events on the way. I know there's more business opportunities and networking events and stuff like that, where, you know, you're going to put me in a room with maybe more successful people. And I always do have this kind of like nervousness that comes.
Absolutely. But I think it's in human nature to care. I don't think we will ever be, from psychological point of view, be ever at the point where we completely don't care. If you don't, then there's something off with you, you know? But I'm saying not care to the point when it ruins your day or blocks your potential or just limits you, you know? Of course, if someone's going to say something hurtful, like sometimes you're just going to be like, but I always ask myself, is this the person that inspires me or has something that inspires me? No, I don't care about their opinion then, you know? Is this the person that contributes to my life in any way? No, I don't care about their opinion. Is it the person I would switch places with? No, never mind, you know? But if the criticism comes from someone that's above me or inspires me, which actually never does, because people that criticize you or try to put you down, they're really below you, you know? So I also, like, any hateful comments, any mean comments, like, it's always from people that are already miserable with themselves and they just want to, like, there's actually studies done that, like, when people are miserable, when they do something mean to you, they start feeling better. Like, it actually fires up things in their brain that gives them that dopamine rush. So who cares, you know? But, like, you are able to just switch that off and you're like, I don't care. Like,
no, because the mindset, this is my mindset. This is how I think, right? And it's, don't become like those who hurt you. Don't become like those who criticize you or judge you. And that's just how I am. Like, I'm not going to drop my to another level or to someone else's level because they're judging me or they're hating on me or they're misunderstanding me or they don't like what I'm doing or they treat me a specific way. And then what happens is that will then almost immediately, like, or it's an automatic response to, like, go, you know, how dare you talk to me like that? Or, you know, screw you too, or whatever. And that means that you're becoming like them. And that's not me.
It's not worth your energy.
You know, like, I'm like, man, like, I have no response is a response. That's it. You know, distance is my response. You know, if you can't, like, appreciate me for who I am, guess what? You won't be in my life.
Yeah.
Simple.
Me, it's like, I agree with everything you say, but sometimes, like, I guess the Slavic part of me wants
Well, that's why I have to always,
in their place.
I know you like to put people in their place, but I have to sometimes remind you, like, just let it go because it's a waste of energy. Not everyone deserves.
I think I'm good with, like, I have a good balance. Like, I really have to, it really has to be something major for me to feel like I have to.
You are on fire. Like, she's got that fire, you know, whereas I'm just more like really quiet.
And like water.
I know that sometimes as a man, I'm the protector, I'm provider in that position in our relationship. And sometimes, yeah, there is cause for me to, like, step up and be the man and lead.
But
you know,
I think that's what I always disagree with you because I think
you're saying moments
and you're
But now I know, like, I'm actually very calm.
No, but I'm saying, like, actually, I think you're the most masculine to me actually when you are so peaceful, when you are calm. Like, I think, like, people still sometimes think that
masculinity
is, like, you know, putting people in their place and having that fire in you. But actually, no, like, the way you handle things, the way how gentle you are, how kind you are, how peaceful you are, that's so sexy to me. That's masculine to me. Like, I'm always, like, so impressed with that. Like, I'm not into that alpha male anymore, like that Eastern European vibe. Like, when you just, like, always curse, always scream. Like, I actually always, the moment I healed, I started looking at it as, like, oh my gosh, like, that's so
toxic,
attractive and toxic. And that's actually not masculine at all because you have no control over your emotions, you know? And with you, the way you can control your emotions, I'm like, wow, like, that's amazing. And that's what makes me feel safe when you lead. That's what, first time in my life, I can give the control to you because I feel safe and I trust you because you're not emotional. You're not emotionally dysregulated. Like, everything you do is always so, like, gentle. So to me, very masculine.
Thanks.
So yeah, coming back.
But I mean, see, like, and most importantly, like, yeah, sometimes I do feel like, yeah, you know, I need to lead. I need to be my power, this and that. But other times it's really just me being Luke, me being myself. And yeah, I am sensitive. I am emotionally aware now. I never used to be. So my emotional intelligence is very high. So it's a gift and a superpower, you know, to understand your feelings and emotions. And I like being me, you know.
And I love when you're being you.
I wouldn't have attracted you if I was not being myself, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, going back to love, you know, obviously the last, you know, we've been together now, June, it's October, so it's like 15, 16 months.
Yeah.
You know,
which obviously it seems like it's not
a long time to
people,
months.
But like you guys have to understand that like most people, when they start dating, they go on a date twice a week. They, you know, get to know each other. They, you know, just see each other maybe twice a week. They have 9-to-5 jobs. Like, you know, let's see each other for dinner. For us, like our lifestyle, like, cause we were long distance, like we met up in Ibiza.
Yeah, so
2 days together.
Wait, like that first month, what we did, basically we were talking on the phone for 1 month.
For hours.
For hours, like every day, like, you know?
All the time.
Yeah.
It was almost like draining.
Yeah, like we were just
and
nonstop.
I was so scared, and I'm sure you too, because we were so scared that we were doing all this talking on the phone, and we already felt like in love with each other, but we fell in love with each other's personalities. And we still kind of weren't sure about the looks because we only saw each other on social media and we weren't each other's type, like that we usually go for. So, and you know how it is with videos and pictures, like you just can never tell So we were like so nervous, you know, like maybe we're wasting our time. And because you know what? It's also like from the biochemical point of view, like there is this, I don't know, in English, pheromones. I think it's called the same way, pheromones. It's that these hormones that like, if you're not in alignment the way our nature works, like even someone's smell can bother you. Even if they smell good, it's just your hormones, your pheromones are not in alignment. And I'm sure so many people met someone and in the pictures or videos, they're like, oh, this person is beautiful. But then you meet them in person, and you're like, wow, like even though I look at this person and they're beautiful, like I just don't feel connection.
Mm.
And then sometimes someone is not attractive to you, but you meet them in person and you feel that spark and you feel like this chemistry and you don't even understand. So that's kind of how it was with us. We fall in love with each other's personalities. We knew our vision for life and goals aligned, but we just were so scared of the physical part, you know? Like, I actually didn't even know how tall he is until, like, I think a few days before we met, because I wasn't sure if I should wear heels. Like,
how tall are you?
Because I, you know, in the social media, like, you, someone can look very tall and then they, like,
Good camera angles can change. But so, I knew that after we'd been speaking for 4 weeks and I was in Dubai with my sister, Christine, and I made up a lie to her because I was like feeling business and shit. And I go, listen, I've got a business meeting in Ibiza because we were talking and she's like, oh yeah, I'm traveling to visit my friend in Ibiza.
No, you actually said that, okay, we've been doing all this talking. Like, I want to come to New York and see you.
Like, yeah, and I said, like, I need to see
you. He was like, I want to come to New York and take you out to dinner. And I was like, well, that sounds really nice, but I'm actually leaving to Spain in a few days.
Yeah.
So then you were like, okay, then I'm coming to Spain. And I was just like, wow, like, this guy really knows what he wants.
No, because listen, like, there's, you know, I got to this point after 4 weeks that I was like, I can't continue to do this long distance shit. Like, I'd done it before in the past and I just did not believe in like this whole constant WhatsApp phone call.
And you've had situations when you spoke to people on social media and then you meet in person and didn't click.
Yeah, but I was just done, you know, and I was just like, okay, now you've been talking to her for 4 weeks. Like, it's obviously you like her. And you can't live this fantasy like as if you're in love with someone or you're falling for someone, but you've never physically met them.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I cannot do this anymore. She's coming to Spain. I was like, she's coming closer to me. And I'm like, I am, you know, not expecting her to come and say, yeah, oh, Luke, like I'm going to come to Dubai. I'm going to come and see
you. He could easily say, oh, I'm going to fly you out to Dubai. But I think you knew that I'm going to say no.
I knew myself that I was like, this girl is different. And I am using my initiative as a man. I'm buying my flight, my ticket, and I'm coming to see her.
Yeah.
And
we didn't stay together. Like, I stayed with my best friend and you got a hotel, which was nice too. Like, you weren't expecting, you know, like you did all the right things. Like, you acted like a man, like, I'm going to get a hotel. I'm going to take you out to dinner. There was like, we didn't even kiss the first day, like nothing. Cause we just like really were just.
But yeah, it was very, I would say that it was awkward. Like it was very uncomfortable because in your mind, you're like, you've got this connection with the voice, you know, not the person and not the energy of the person,
yeah,
just the voice, you know? So you've already like subconsciously programmed yourself to be in a relationship with a voice, not a person, you know? And the energy of Yulita in her presence, how she acts, how she talks, how, like her energy, the way she walks, the way she presents herself, like her demeanor, like everything, attitude. I was like completely caught off guard. And I was like, literally when you first walked in and I'm looking at you, I was gone, man. Like I didn't know. It's almost like I had a trauma response, you know, like I was just like, shit, man, you know, sitting there and it just was like a dream, you know? Yeah. And
obviously we were both very nervous. Like I was shaking. I got the worst migraine right before I got there. Like it was just, our bodies were like fighting it. No. So we were so nervous because we were like, it's either now or never. And it's either this is it or we're going to be again, like not again.
So, but I remember that night when we were sitting, we got a shisha and we're having a drink next to the yacht on the thinger. And then like, she touched my face and I was like, that was one of the things that like got me straight away. Like when you touched my face like that, I was like, oh, that's her. And that was amazing feeling, yeah. You know, like it was so soft and gentle.
And I could feel like the chemistry.
And I was like, oh my God, that's love. That's
and love. I was so happy. Like I felt my body responding to you. Like it felt good to be around you, you know, because I've also like had men before that I was like set on a date with, like, and you know, you saw the person's picture and you seem like, oh, this is a great, good looking person. And then you meet in person and like you said, their maneuver, no, like the way
the mannerisms,
the way they talk, the way they move, like that just throws you off, like it throws you off. And I was like, shoot, you know, I was scared. It's
the crazy part about it was that we were in a relationship on the phone.
Yeah.
And it's like we had to bring that into reality, which was not real.
Yeah.
Because it never happened before.
Yeah.
And that's what was real. It was like there was resistance, but then there was like closeness because it was like we already knew each other, but we didn't know each other because we never met.
Yeah. And then after 2 days, you went back to Dubai and we actually missed each other. Like, you know, we felt like.
Yeah. Like, but okay. So then there was this urgency from me. And in the past with relationships, I've always felt like I'm in a hurry, you know, like I'm always like, oh my gosh, like there was this fear, not fear. This was different, you know?
Yeah. But you still had some fear.
Yeah. There was a fear of like, no, we need to like move forward. We need to, cause we were sitting in the beach club and in Ibiza.
That was
and she was like, what's next? So what's next?
No. You literally sat me down. You were like, okay, so listen, this is what's going to happen now. And I'm thinking like, oh, he's going to, I don't know, tell me. And he's like, I'm going to come back to Dubai. I'm going to close everything there. Then I'm going to come to New York. Then from New York, we're going to leave to London. And from London, we're going to go to Australia. Like planning. First we were supposed to go to Australia. No, we're going to meet in Poland. Then we're going to go to Australia. Then we come back. And giving me like our plans for like the next 6 months. I'm like, this guy is crazy. But I think also because we obviously at the age when we know what we want.
Yeah,
I'm 33, he's 39. Like we've been looking for a long time. Like we both like healed enough to know that, you know, what we want. So even though it sounds crazy, like we already spoke on the phone for like a whole month, every single day. So we were just like, okay, why waste time? Why do this long distance thing? So pretty much a week later, he moved in with me in New York.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't muck around, you know, but
I tried to slow things down.
She did. We were trying to book. I was trying to organize flights. And because my sister was there with me, I was like, you know what? She can go home early because your lid is more important. And I didn't care about this, what else I was doing. I know, but no, but like Chris was there. And I was like, Chris, you can go home, go back to Australia.
And she wanted to go home too.
And she wanted to go home, yeah. And I was just like, I'm just focusing on Yulita and whatever we need to do next, you know? And so I messaged Yulita, and this is interesting, and this will be good for you guys listening as well, because you'll be like, oh, wow, look at that, right? Because it shocked me a little bit as well, right?
So it shocked me too.
Because this was the old Luke mindset, right? Where it was like, okay, so I've got tickets, we got Dubai, Philippines, Sydney. And I'm like, okay, Chris is going Dubai straight back to Sydney. So I organized her flights. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to change the name. Yulita's going to take that ticket. But then when Yulita flies back to New York or wherever she's going, she can pay for her ticket. So I sent her a message and I'm like, okay. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to organize this. But if you could organize that ticket.
He's like, all you have to do is just organize yourself and get back
just
to
just do it yourself, whatever. And then she sent me this long message, like in reply. And she was basically rejecting my offer and saying that I should pay for everything.
No, first of all, I did not say that. I literally just said, thank you for like the offer.
She did it in a really nice way, but she...
I just said like, but it just doesn't, it's not in alignment with who I am to like fly all the way to Australia, 20 hours where you inviting me for your birthday party with your, to meet your family, and you expect me to pay for my ticket. In my head, I'm like, I'm not desperate. Like, and then what if things don't work out after Australia? I'm just gonna be like a fool, came all the way, to a different country, and it's like 24-hour flight. And I was just like, look, like I don't expect you actually to pay if that's something hard for you right now or you can't afford it or anything. I was like, let's just take things slow, you know, like we'll see each other in Poland, because we were both going to be in Poland around the same time. And I was like, we don't have to rush. Like, if this is something that's like putting too much stress on you, like, don't worry about it. Because in my head, I was like, if he's not doesn't have a provider mindset, then he's not the one. Because I knew that even though I'm successful on my own, I can easily pay for this ticket myself. It's just I know what kind of man I want in my life. And in his head was more like, yeah, I can pay for this flight. But he's like, what if I spend all this money and then this girl is like, I'm not interested. And it was just kind of risky for him. So I sent that message and then you were...
Yeah, so she kind of put me in my place, you know. She was like, nah, if you want me to come to Australia and like for your birthday, because I had all these plans... She's basically saying in a nice way, she said it so nicely. I don't know how she wrote it, but she wrote it so well. Basically saying, I'm not buying no tickets. Like, you know, we don't have to rush. Like, we can just meet each other back in Poland, like in a month. And saying, if you want me to come, you pay. So I read this message and I was like,
in a nice way.
I was like, damn, like she's pushing me. Like she's really forcing me to like buy these tickets and pay for everything.
No, oh
she God. Is like, it was
literally
no, said, but no, like, it's not a bad thing.
You're like,
saying said, it's a bad thing.
No, what you told me, you're like, I look at this message, they're like, okay, she has her standards. Yeah. She knows her
so
work.
She was,
she's not going to sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah. She had her boundaries and she was showing me that this is what her standard is, whatever. Right. So I was like, okay. And then came when she said, oh, I can just meet, like, don't worry about it. I can just meet you in a month back in Poland. You go and do your thing in Australia. And that triggered the fear of like, oh my gosh, if I don't see her now, then the possibility of what happens if I don't see her, I'm going to lose her. Because that's been a subconscious familiarity of my past relationships that I lose people, you know? And I was like, no way, I'm buying the tickets. You're coming with me. And that's it.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's my boy. And also, like, I've seen this thing on TikTok, or like, no, it was actually Instagram. Like, someone said, have this letter codes in your mind, like conversations with God, and tell the God, like, if he's going to be the one, he's going to say this and this to me. So for me, I also said these conversations with God. And I was like, when I meet that person, he's going to say this and that. And you were saying those things. So that's how I knew. Like, for example, that, like, I can work because I want to, like, I don't have to work. Like, you want to provide for a family and you just were like, you know, treating me like your best friend. You were saying like, I'm the most important to you. You're a family oriented man. Like those things were like important for me. And we are sharing the story also because I feel like social media can be so toxic and they're like, if he's not a provider, then he's not the one. And like, but also, like, you shouldn't teach men how to treat you. But you also have to realize that, like, sometimes you, it's not about you have to train them or teach them or raise them or whatever. It's about, like, giving those little hints, because we've dated so many different people. And maybe he's dated some women before that wouldn't let him buy a ticket. You know, like, some women are like that. They're like, I'm buying my own ticket. I'm independent. I used to be that girl in the past, too. So, you know, I wasn't right away like, oh, red flag, he asked me to buy. Because I could have easily be like, no, he's not the one, red flag, I don't want to. I could have ghosted him and be like, I don't even want to. No, I was like, let me say how I feel. What are my standards? And if he matches my standards, great. We can make it work and continue to grow together and see if we align in the future. Or he can be like, well, I'm not the type of man. I'm not going to be buying your ticket, which, you know, to me, it was also crazy because you invited me to come to Australia to meet your family. I'm like, why would I pay for my ticket? You know, like, I just felt like it's not fair to me. And so, yeah, tell your partner, like, or the person you're dating, like, what you like, what are your standards? Because your standards will only scare off the wrong people, you know? But, like, he's not supposed to read your mind. He's not supposed to, like... Every person is different. Every person has different needs, different goals, different vision for relationships. So you have to have these uncomfortable conversations, because it was very uncomfortable for me and you.
Yeah.
But like, it's okay. Like, your partner is not supposed to be everything you want in a partner right away. Because we had to do a lot of work to, like, you know, align.
Yeah. And that was part of, yeah, like I said, you know, there was the urgency from me and... I wasn't, I guess I got to this point where I just wasn't willing to, like, you know, I knew what we had and I was felt so connected to you. And I was like, nah.
I'm losing it. And I like what you said to me. You said that I actually, because of me keeping my standards, I made you step into a more powerful version of yourself and step up as a man. And that was like, pretty much I made you grow as a person, you know, like, because you could have easily be like, I'm not doing this, you know, that's just not who I am.
Mm-hmm. No, because in my mind I had, see how long we've been talking about something like this? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because it's I think it's something that people probably deal with in relationships a lot.
I think there's a lot of relationships that fall apart because there's misunderstanding.
You know,
that.
But, you know, I also thought in my mind, my old mindset, the old Luke was, well, I just got to know her. Like, and this is what a lot of people will say. They'll say, well, I don't even know them. So why would I pay for them? Like, you know, like I've just met them for like 1 month.
And there's guys that also love bombed you and they're like, I will fly you out here. I will buy you this, you know? So like, I was kind of happy that you weren't that type of guy because I knew you're not love bombing me. But I also wasn't going to like sell down for the guy that doesn't have a provider mindset. Not because I, you know, I need a man to provide for me, but I just can't imagine having kids with the man that expects me to like work, raise kids, clean, cook, you know, it's like, that's not 50-50. Like, you're not going to carry a child for like 4.5 months, you know, so it's never half and half in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, yeah, it definitely was... that part of my train of thinking, you know, that I only just met her and I was like, nah, but what she did, I think was great because she did kind of push me to go, well, hey, you wanted someone extraordinary. You wanted someone successful. You wanted someone that knows their worth and they know who the fuck they are. And this was a video that I did back in 2023, where I was saying that, you know, you know, I want someone who is independent and I'm going to attract someone who is like-minded and on a similar level to me.
Which again, it's so amazing because like,
that's what I'm, that's what I attracted, mindset. Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Like that's.
But I think what's amazing because you want also a woman that's successful and independent, but not because you expect her to like.
No, not because I'm like, oh yeah, so I don't have to work. No, because that's not fulfilling as a man.
Yeah. Like you're such a provider, but you just wanted someone that understands also your drive and your ambition.
Yeah. Because if you were on that lower vibration or lower frequency or lower level of success, or you couldn't comprehend what it takes to like hustle. Because there is, like, you got to, like, I work, like, 15, 16 hours a day. Like, I'm on the computer all the time. I'm fucking doing shit all the time. So imagine you didn't even have an understanding of that.
Yeah.
Because you're on social media, too. You know, you create content.
Oh, we understand
you
each other.
You have your own online courses, business, everything like that. So imagine you didn't understand what I'm doing.
Imagine you didn't.
We wouldn't even be able to relate conversations or connect the way we do.
Mm-hmm. Or build the life we have.
Absolutely. So there'll be no understanding, which would create conflict.
Yeah.
I believe, you know, so. it would be like, I'm up here, you're down here. And there would be like this looking down at you I'm in that.
So for everyone, like it can mean different things in a relationship. You just have to find a person that matches who you are, really, you know?
And that's why if you haven't met that person yet, keep growing, keep evolving. Like what's the secret, you know?
And keep healing.
Yeah. Keep healing, keep growing. You know, a part of the journey of like attracting the one is becoming the one, become who you want to attract. If you haven't met them yet, you haven't met yourself deep enough yet. It's as simple as that. Yeah. You've got to actually go through this process of understanding who you are. And I feel that's one of the biggest keys, you know, to our relationship, to our success is for me to attract you. I had to find me first.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
The same. Yeah.
Was a big part of it.
Yeah. So then pretty much after 1 week, 1 week after our first date, we actually moved in together.
I know. That's crazy.
You came to New York.
Yeah. So we moved in then.
And that's what I was trying to say before, that like for some people, they feel like, oh, they've been only together for like whatever, 16 months. But you have to understand, like, we together 24/7. We didn't have that phase because we were long distance.
We didn't have that.
You go on a date like once a week, twice a week. Like, we didn't, which was hard too, right? Because right away we saw each other at our worst. Like, right away we saw each other 24/7. We both work from home. We were in each other's space. Like, you know, so we spent more time in the past 15 months that people sometimes spend in a
five-year
relationship.
It could have been like, oh, I'll see you next Thursday. And then you have this three-hour date.
And then you just
and then you're messaging SMS this back. And then you go, when are we going to see each other again? Oh, maybe in 2 weeks. Oh, let's go on Saturday. Why don't we go to the theater?
Some people say that, like, you're dating someone, but a vacation is like a real test for a relationship when you go away with someone. And, like, we had that, like, a week after our first date. Like, we moved in together and were together nonstop ever since.
Mm.
Which is why it's so amazing that we don't have, like, fights or we don't get sick of each other. Like, we have conflicts, we have disagreements, and we talk about it, which I feel like healthy conflict actually brings you closer and makes you grow.
The challenging conversations that we have, I will call them that, are very uncomfortable, and they piss me off so much in the moment. But the fact that I know is that every time we go through it, I would say that she would be feeling and doing the same thing. I fall more in love with her after every every one of those challenging conversations that we
have. And that's the whole point of conflict.
But that's the whole point. But that's the whole point of a freaking relationship, of being married. It's not about, you know, giving up because it gets challenging. It's about understanding. It's about communication. It's about respect. You know, it's about love. And
don't think that we were like having like no problems, no nothing. Like, there was a lot of times when we had to overcome some issues, get on the same page, have uncomfortable conversations where we were both freaked out or wanna way out of relationship. Maybe not so extreme, but, like, you know, those thoughts cross your mind when your traumas get triggered. But I think now it's like the relationship just gets better and better. When people are like, oh, wait till honeymoon phase is over, you're not going to be in love with each other anymore. You're not going to want to be together. You're going to want to kill each other. And I don't agree with that. Like, I think when you both conscious people get together and work on each other, like, relationship just gets better and better.
Mm. There is a lot more that we would love to share with you in our life, who we are, how we're living.
So we know these stories will inspire
people. Yeah, you know, so there's definitely going to be more from us. So stay tuned to the Luke Mindpower podcast. Make sure you follow Yulita on her Instagram, holistic.hypnotherapist. And, you know, we will see you guys on the next episode. But, you know, I'm just listening to our conversation. I'm like, wow, there is so much to talk about. And, you know, I know that it's going to inspire you because there's so many different scenarios and situations that have occurred in the last 18 months that are real life relationship situations that can cause separation and would have
the relationship
if we did not have the level of self-awareness that we have.
Emotional intelligence.
100%. We would have broken up, but we would not be together. We'd not be married. Mm-hmm. There's no way, you know? So we can't wait to share more, and we'll be back. So make sure you stay tuned, follow us. And
let us know if you have any questions that we can answer.
Absolutely. DM us, you know, leave the comments in the YouTube channel. And we can't wait to see you on the next episode. But Yulita, I love you. Thank you for messaging me.
Thank you for finding my profile.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast episode.
Thank you for having me.
And for sharing your wisdom. And I can't wait for the next episode because actually there's so much to talk about.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you guys soon. Thanks for joining us.